Have you ever made plans and begin to line things up and orchestrate those plans only to have God redirect and totally make nothing out of those plans? Has that ever happened to you? Sometimes you make plans and they seem like good plans. They seem like wise, biblical plans. And you order your steps and you try to do things like, okay, is this wise? Is this good? And you set off on this plan and God throws a big monkey wrench in the middle of it. And it all comes to a grinding halt. And the Lord directs your steps. No, I want you to go this way. Have you ever had to struggle with that? When God redirects your steps and you want to ask the Lord, Lord, I want to go this way. This was the whole plan. I have everything in motion. And he says, well, take it out of motion and I want you to go in this direction. That's kind of what we see in our passage this morning as we look at the life of Joseph. Joseph had some amazing plans, godly plans. Joseph was trying to do what is right before the Lord, and God redirected his steps. As we look at this, we can learn some lessons of faith of what it means to yield to God. When God changes the direction that you think is best, and he says, no, I want you to do things differently. I want you to do things my way. And as we look at the life of Joseph, we see that he responds to the Lord in faith and he yields his way and his plans to God's plans. Now, the passage that we're going to look at is still part of our Christmas series. And in this passage that we see Joseph excited about being married, excited about starting a family. And the plans that he has in his mind is different than what God intends. And if this is your first time here, we're finishing up our Christmas series, and that series is called Seven Responses to the Birth of Christ. And as God announced in Scripture to different groups of people and different individuals, we could learn from their responses. How did they respond to the good news that the Messiah is born? And he's lying in a manger. It's baby Jesus. We saw how the shepherds responded. We saw how Simeon and Anna responded. We saw how Mary responded. And each of the three groups that we've seen before, we see that they respond in faith. We see that they respond in joy, that they respond in obedience. They respond in sharing that good news that God announced to them. Now they become instruments and vessels to distribute that good news. And today we see Joseph. When the Lord announces the good news of the Messiah's birth and that the Messiah would be born through Mary, we see Joseph's response. Would he welcome God's plan? Would he yield to God's plan, or would he dig in his heels and resist? See, this is such an important lesson for us to learn and be reminded of. If you belong to Christ and you're a child of God, God is at work in your life and he is orchestrating your life and he wants you to walk with him in obedience and in service. And sometimes the way that you want to go is not the path that God wants you to go on. And you come to a crossroads. Are you going to yield to him? Are you going to follow his lead? Or are you going to insist on going your own way? As we look at this passage this morning, we see this wonderful way that Joseph, by faith, and in submission to the Lord, yields to God's plan. He says, okay, God, I'm gonna stick with your plan. And Joseph ditches his plan, and he walks in obedience with the Lord. If you've ever struggled with submitting to God and yielding to Him, this passage is such an encouragement. God wants you to learn what it means and how to submit and yield to Him. And so that's what we're going to see. So you can take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, and we look at Joseph's obedience and submission. Matthew chapter 1, we could start in verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and will bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.' And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son and called his name Jesus." We see the angel announcing to Joseph in a dream that the Messiah has come. How would Joseph respond to this? Well, we're going to see Joseph responds in faith and submission and obedience in the midst of difficulty. Joseph had his plans. God had different plans. And in that difficulty, Joseph decides, "No, I'm gonna live by faith, and I'm gonna trust the Lord rather than trusting in my own way." The good news of the birth of Christ would have thrown a wrench into Joseph's plans. Joseph and Mary, they planned to be wed. It derailed Joseph's plans, and it interrupted his dreams and his hopes. But even though it proved difficult, Joseph responded in faith and submission and obedience. And so as we look at this passage, we could kind of break it down into five key segments. And the first segment we see is Joseph's problem. Everything's been going good. Joseph and Mary are engaged. Actually, in our terms, we would think about this period as their engagement. In the Hebrew thought, they've already committed themselves to each other. It would have been an arranged marriage. They were already betrothed and married, but the wedding celebration and consummation hadn't happened yet. This is just the way the Jewish people did their weddings. And Joseph's problem was, "I'm engaged to this woman, and she's pregnant, and the baby isn't mine. He knows it's not mine. And so what are the explanations?" We see this problem here starting in verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows." Matthew is illustrating this and explaining it according to God's point of view. When Mary, his mother, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. 2 weeks ago, we looked at this passage where the angel reveals to Mary, "Mary, you're going to give birth to a son and call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins." And Mary asks, "How could this be? I'm a virgin." And the angel explains, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the child conceived that you will give birth to is the Son of God." He's the Messiah that had been promised in the Old Testament. Well, that's what God is doing. God knows his plans. And here, Matthew announces just so beautifully that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. sums up that the child that Mary is carrying is not the son of a man. He's the Son of God. Holy Spirit did a miracle in her womb, and she conceived the Messiah. Now, Joseph's problem is this. Joseph doesn't know any of this. The Lord hadn't visited him yet. There hadn't been any explanation of to what's going on. Mary and Joseph, they're married, they're betrothed, and it's before they came together. It's before they had any union or consummation of their marriage. Now, the marriage procedures in the ancient world were different than we have. For us, you get engaged, you go through the engagement, and then you have the wedding ceremony, you're married, and then before you leave the church, you sign the marriage certificate with the pastor and with a couple witnesses, right? And so everything's official. Well, in the ancient world, with arranged marriages, is you were betrothed and married up front, a dowry was given. It was like everything for the contract was fulfilled, and so you were legally married, but the wedding celebration hadn't come yet, and that's what they're waiting for. And so they were already married. They were betrothed, but they weren't living together, and in the ancient world, usually this betrothal period would last 6 to 10 to almost 12 months. It was a time of testing, faithfulness, and fidelity, and it was a time to plan for that wedding celebration. Usually the bride and groom had little to no contact during that time. Well, Joseph hears Mary's pregnant. We don't know the circumstances of that, but we know that he hears that she's pregnant. He knows that the baby is not his. And what else can he conclude but my wife has been unfaithful to me? We haven't had a chance to be together, and now my wife is pregnant by another man. That's Joseph's problem. He doesn't know the background of what God's doing. He only sees and knows the news that Mary's pregnant. Did word spread through the town? Were people whispering, spreading gossip? Was it Mary that had told him? Most likely Mary would have told him, but he probably heard news coming from all sorts of directions. And now he's at a crossroads. What do? I love this woman. We're planning to be married. Both our parents, they were in favor of this. It's an arranged marriage. And I can't go along with it now. This is Joseph's problem. Now we see Joseph's plan. Okay, what's Joseph going to do now that he knows that Mary's pregnant? Look at verse 19. It says, "And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly." Notice in verse 19, it says, Joseph, her husband. People will ask, well, why is he her husband if they're only engaged? And remember, I explained of how the wedding proceedings went in the ancient world. So he was her husband. They were legally married. They weren't living together. They hadn't had the marriage ceremony. They hadn't consummated the marriage. And Joseph's plan is this. I'm going to put her away. I'm going to divorce her privately. Not going to make a big scandal. Not going to publicly shame her. But I can't go along with this marriage. You know, you think about it. You put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Here he is being a godly man. He's kept himself pure. That he's been engaged and married to this woman. He's preparing a home, as was the tradition. He's getting all his ducks in a row so that he could provide for his family and begin a family. The woman that he loved, who he thought was godly and pure, now news is she's pregnant. And what's he to conclude? Well, Joseph's thinking is the thinking of every man. What? She's pregnant? And I didn't do it. Well, someone did it. And Joseph says, I can't go along with the wedding. Can't go along with the plan. And so he plans to put her away secretly. Even before the marriage was consummated, now they're heading for divorce. And it emphasizes here, Joseph being a righteous man. Joseph was righteous. In the scriptures, we see that Mary and Joseph, they are both portrayed as the utmost in purity and righteousness. The people around them don't know God's plans. They just know Mary's pregnant. And what are they to conclude with that? And Joseph, being a righteous man, he's like, I can't be involved with a woman who hasn't kept herself pure. And so he plans to divorce her, but he still loves her, and in his righteousness, he's not wanting to disgrace her. You know, godly people, they don't seek revenge. Godly people aren't vindictive. Godly people aren't gossips. And so Joseph, in his plan to divorce Mary, he is demonstrating this remarkable self-control, humility. He's not vengeful. He's not bitter towards her. He's not angry. Matter of fact, he's trying to protect her by divorcing her secretly, privately. He doesn't want to make a big scandal and a stink about this. And as Joseph, as he works through all of the implications of Mary being pregnant, we see that he's trying to serve God. He's trying to pursue marriage in a pure and godly way. In this passage, we see that Joseph is sexually pure. He knew that he was not the father of Mary's child. Joseph was understandably heartbroken by the circumstances and the supposed infidelity of Mary. Mary would have claimed to be pure. She would have claimed to be a virgin. She would have even claimed and said, I am the virgin that Isaiah 9 speaks of. You can imagine how Mary would break the news to Joseph, saying, I'm not pregnant by a man. This is the Son of God. Joseph would have been shamed by Mary's perceived lies and excuses of her pregnancy. And Joseph's reputation would have been tarnished if he went along with the marriage. You can imagine the people in his town be like, you know what, Joseph? He was going to marry Mary, and we thought everything was good, but she got pregnant by another man. You could hear the whispers. The people saying, you know, well, if he marries her, well, what does that say about him? So it was a big problem. And Joseph's plan was, I can't go along with the marriage, but I'm going to send her away, and I don't want to disgrace her, and I'm going to divorce her secretly. Bottom line, Joseph was afraid to take Mary to be his wife. And he questioned at least 5 character traits of Mary. He questioned her marital faithfulness. He questioned her sexual purity. He would have questioned her love for him. If she really loved me, why didn't she wait for me? He would have questioned her integrity. Why is she covering up her sin by claiming to be pregnant of the Messiah? He may have even questioned her sanity. What, an angel appeared to you? You're bearing the Messiah? You expect me to believe that crazy talk? So Joseph, has this big problem. What's he going to do? And he plans to send Mary away. He plans to end the marriage, to start over. But the next part of this passage, we see God's plan. And God's command to Joseph, even though Joseph had a plan and he was moving in this direction, God intervened with the command. And that command is this: don't be afraid to marry. Mary. Matthew 1, verse 20, it says, but when he had considered this, when he had considered putting her away secretly, divorcing her secretly, when he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Joseph is ready to execute his plans. And he is doing what he thinks is the most godly and righteous thing. I can't link my life with Mary because of these circumstances. And so Joseph is planning to divorce her, to start over fresh. But an angel appears to him in a dream. Look at how he identifies Joseph. He calls to him by name, Joseph, son of David. Okay, this was a formal greeting because Joseph was of the lineage and the line of David. And this means that Joseph is part of this royal line, the line by which God said, David, I'm going to give you a dynasty and you will have a king who will sit on your throne forever. Joseph is part of that lineage. And Matthew here, he records this and he emphasizes that the angel calls attention to his lineage. You are from the house of David. You are a son of David. It's going to be really important because the next few sentences, the angel is going to announce this child that's to be born is the Messiah. He's the king that was promised to sit on David's throne. And the angel tells Joseph, he gives him this command, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The angel says, don't be afraid. Continue on with the original plan. And then he explains, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And now Joseph hears from God, from this angelic messenger. Same message that came to Mary earlier on, now the Lord is sharing with Joseph, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. The child has been conceived of the Holy Spirit. He's the Son of God. He's not the child of a man. Any thoughts that you had of Mary being unfaithful and impure and stepping out on you, that has not happened. Mary has been pure. She has been faithful. She is a virgin. And the child in her womb is a result of a miracle that the Holy Spirit did. The child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. It's Mary's womb plus the work and power of the Holy Spirit equals the baby Jesus, God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. And then the angel gives the good news. This child is special because she will bear a son. This is key language. This is language that goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 when God first promised to send a savior and a deliverer to save Adam and Eve from their sins. She will bear a son and call his name Jesus. The name Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua. The name Joshua means Jesus, means Yahweh saves. And so here Jesus is just that Greek version, meaning Yahweh saves. And the angel said, he's going to save his people from their sins. And so what the angel does is explains to Joseph this baby that's in Mary's womb is the Christ, the Messiah, whom God promised and is the one who is going to save his people from their sins. You see, what God had been orchestrating and what God had been working out is so beautiful and good. And what Joseph had thought about Mary and the circumstances, God says, none of those circumstances that you think have happened are true. But what is true is the fulfillment of what God had promised long ago. That he promised to send a Savior, that the Savior would be born of a virgin, and that this Savior would save his people from their sins. This is what's happening, Joseph. Now, Joseph's plans were, we're going to be married, we're going to have a life together, we're going to start a family, and we're going to teach our kids in the ways of God. That's a good plan. But you see how much better God's plan is. God says, you know, having a family is good, and getting married is good, and you're going to be able to have all that. But I'm entrusting you with the long-awaited Messiah. And I've chosen you and Mary to raise him in your household. When you see in Luke 1 and Matthew chapter 1, the stories about Mary and Joseph, we see their godliness. We see their faith. We see their reliance on God. We see their self-control. We see their purity. We see all of these wonderful traits about their godly character. And here Joseph is told by the angel of the Lord, Mary's going to have a son, and it's the promised one. God's plan for Mary and Joseph was way better than the plan that they had for themselves. The question is would they yield to God's plan? Would they receive and welcome God's plan and say, okay, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And here God gives Joseph this command, don't be afraid to take her as your wife, because that which is in her is of the Holy Spirit. And he's going to save his people from their sins. As you keep reading in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see the life of Jesus. And we see that Jesus, as he begins his ministry and as he teaches and explains the way of salvation, that he explains that salvation indeed is in him. That salvation is not accomplished apart from Christ. It is only in Christ Jesus and through faith in him that a person is saved. We can look at several passages. Acts 4:12 is a great passage to memorize, where Peter preaches, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's only in the name of Jesus. There's salvation in him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Right? Salvation is in Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. Right? See, Jesus, he stressed the fact that there is salvation only in him. Only he can save through his sacrificial death and resurrection. I'll give you one other passage. Maybe it's not as familiar to you. John 8:23-25, it says, and he, Jesus, was saying to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And what's Jesus doing here? He's saying, I am the promised Savior. I am not from below. I'm not from this earth. I'm not earthly. I'm divine. I'm from heaven. And unless you believe in me, you will die in your sins. And the angel reveals to Joseph, this child that is to be born is the Savior. He will save his people from their sins. God not only gives a command, but he helps Joseph to understand the full impact and ramifications. That's what we see in the next section is God's explanation. He's already begun to explain his command. Why should you marry her? Well, because the child is of the Holy Spirit and he will save his people from their sins. The next verse says, now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophets. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Here God explains, and he just makes it so blatantly clear. What's happening to Mary is happening to fulfill the promise of Scripture. That promise of Scripture was given in Isaiah 7, that a virgin will be with child, that this child would be born of a virgin. This means that the child would be special. He would not have an earthly father. And what do we conclude? And what does the New Testament explain about this? Well, that the child, he's born of a woman, but he is the Son of God. God explains this to Joseph. Joseph, what's happening to Mary is not a result of her impurity or her infidelity or anything like that. What's happening to her is the result of God fulfilling the promise of Scripture. And that's the promise that we see in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. How do we know that we're interpreting Isaiah 7:14 and Matthew 1:23 properly? How do we know that Mary is the virgin of Isaiah 7? How do we know that Jesus is the Son of God and that he is Emmanuel, God with us? Well, here, God's word links both passages together. This is God's divine commentary of saying what's happening to her was promised long ago. Matter of fact, 600 years before Mary was born, Isaiah gave this prophecy by the word of the Lord. And God explains to Joseph, Joseph, you don't have to worry about taking Mary as your wife. There's nothing improper or impure about her. Don't be afraid to take her to be your wife because the child is of the Holy Spirit. He is the Son of God, and he will save his people from their sins. Mary would bear a son, and you're to name him Jesus because he's the Son of God. He's the Savior. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. Now, most likely, and we don't read that in the pages of Scripture, most likely that's what Mary shared with Joseph. And when Joseph heard it from Mary, he's like, I can't believe that. It's too fantastic. It's too much to believe. Rather than believing that, it's like the most logical explanation is the right explanation. Until God explains it to Joseph. The question is, how would Joseph respond to that? Would he yield to God and to God's plans, or would he continue to stick with his plans? He's already consulted with an attorney. He's already gotten the paperwork. It's all ready to go. Things have been stamped. It's just a matter of him turning it in. He doesn't argue with God. He doesn't say, yeah, but the ball's in motion. But he doesn't do any of that. What we see is that Joseph responds in submission to the Lord. Even though he's moving in a certain direction and he has his plans and he thinks that what he's doing is the right thing to do, when the Lord reveals, no, this is who the child is, and don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, Joseph responds by submitting to the Lord. He believes in the Lord, he submits to him, and then he walks in obedience to him. The submission part is so crucial. Would he allow God to interrupt his plans? And he does. Why? Because he's a godly man. And this is how godly people live. Godly people live by faith. And when God's word corrects, and when God's word rebukes, and when God's word instructs, godly people respond to that in submission and say, yes, Lord, your way is right. And then they walk in obedience to that. We look at this passage, we see it from Joseph, and God wants us to grow in this same type of submissive faith, that we would submit to God and that we trust him, we trust his ways above our own. And in the next verse, we see, what does Joseph do when God confronts him with this knowledge and gives him this command, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife? We see Joseph's response. Joseph awoke from his sleep, and he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife. Joseph said, okay, I'm not going to divorce her anymore. I'm going to continue on with the marriage that they completed, the rest of the marriage. They had the marriage celebration. But verse 25 says, he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. This is so important. Because what did Isaiah tell us about the virgin? The virgin would give birth to a son. And Joseph, in obedience and reverence for God's word, even though they were legally married, even though they had the marriage celebration, he did not consummate that marriage. And he kept her a virgin until the days for her pregnancy were complete and she gave birth to a son. Why did Joseph do that? Well, it's because Joseph had this wonderful esteem for God's plan and God's word. Had Joseph consummated the marriage with Mary, even though the child was already in her womb, scripture would not be fulfilled, saying the virgin shall give birth. It's not just that the virgin would conceive, but the virgin would give birth. And Joseph, in his godliness and his righteousness and his self-control and his love for God and his word, he kept his wife a virgin until she gave birth to the son. This is a remarkable attitude of obedience and honor for God's word. And we see both Mary and Joseph, even though the people in the towns, rumors and all these things about their character, this followed them even when they traveled to Bethlehem where Jesus was born. Why do you think that they had to stay in an inn rather than with family members? Well, because nobody believed their story, that this was the Son of God who was being born. But Mary and Joseph, we see in Matthew 1 and Luke 1, we see their utmost purity and holiness and trust in God, the way they yielded to God. God revealed to Joseph that the Messiah was coming and that Mary would bear him. God chose Joseph to raise him and to disciple him and to pour his life into him. That wasn't part of Joseph's plan. But Joseph yielded and he submitted to God's plan. Once he understood, okay, this is what God is doing, and God says, okay, I need you to get on the program, Joseph says, yes, Lord. And he yields his way and he gets on the program. Even though it was added difficulty, even though it was added hardship, even though Mary and Joseph would have to bear the scorn from family and friends and the people in their towns, the reputation that everyone from the outside that saw what was going on assumed that there was impurity and impropriety and that Jesus was an illegitimate child, and only Joseph and Mary knew the truth. And Joseph was willing to yield and to walk in obedience to God, facing that kind of persecution and hardship and ridicule. He walked in obedient faith, even though it was difficult. And so we see this passage, and the same thing that we see in Joseph, God wants to develop that in you. He wants you to have a faith that is not just a convenient faith. Well, I'll believe God when everything is convenient. I'll believe God when everything is easy and there's no controversy. No, God wants you to have a determined faith and a grounded faith where you're willing to trust him and to follow him when there is controversy and when there is hardship and things aren't convenient. God wants you to have a faith where it results in obedience. God doesn't want your faith to be a matter of lip service. He doesn't want you to call him Lord, Lord, but he wants you to act as though he is your Lord. And God wants you to have a submissive faith, a faith that says, okay, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. God, your way is better than my way. And this is what we see in the life of Joseph. We see that in the life of Mary. And we see this as we read the rest of Scripture, that the people of God, godly people, believers, respond in faith and obedience and submission. God wants you to grow in these things. He wants you to grow and to serve and yield to him, to follow him, even when it's inconvenient. He wants you to do those things even when there's persecution, hardship. He wants you to have a faith that it's obedient and submissive, even though it cost you your life. This is what Jesus meant when he said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know what that means? Be willing to follow Jesus, even though it would mean your death. To follow Jesus in every way, up to and including losing your life for it. And we see this wonderful passage because we see Joseph as a godly man responding the way godly people do in faith. Trusting the Lord. You know, there's a favorite scripture of mine and Nicole's. A lot of times when Nicole writes letters, she'll sign letters, and she'll quote Proverbs 16:9. It says, the mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Will you let God direct your steps? Will you yield to him as he leads you through his word and through the truth he has revealed, in His Word. Would you receive that, and would you grow? Not just have one time obedience or submission, but God wants you to grow in day by day, persistent, walking with the Lord, faith and obedience and submission. God wants us to grow in that kind of faith. So will you submit to God and His plans for you and live it out? Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your Word. And we pray that You would cause us to learn from Your Word. Pray that You would teach us, help us to walk in obedience to You. Help us to submit and yield to Your plans and not our own. You are Lord. We're Your servants. Lord, help us to delight in following You. And so we ask and pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.